So we are in Ephesians chapter 6. I'm going to give you a little bit of a forewarning. Pastor Dave asked me to speak about a month ago, and we were kind of like right in between messages and sermons, and I'm like, well, what do you want me to speak on? He goes, you can do whatever you want. So that's what you're going to get, I guess. I say that because I feel like that God has put on my heart today is something that's was really for me a lot of it. And I know that maybe some of you will get something out of it, but it really was how God has been speaking to me specifically on this issue. So if you were in Ephesians chapter 6, I think it'd be great for us to get started. Ephesians chapter 6 says this, verse 10, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand firm, stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace in all the circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication to that end. Keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak." Father, I ask that you would take your word and drive it into our lives by your Holy Spirit. Make it clear to us, Father, what you desire. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul is speaking, Ephesians 6, that he is in house arrest, he is in prison, and he is stationed with a royal guard. And these Roman guards are sitting there, and they are there with him every day, and he's impacting them every day. Can you imagine being chained to Paul? Hey, let me tell you about Jesus. I mean, it was intense. But he uses, and he looks at him, and he begins to dissect this, what they look like, and what their parts of their armor. And he begins to describe to us, to all of us, what does it mean to be a believer? What does it mean to be a Christian warrior? I say that because there's a tendency sometimes is that we don't recognize the fact of what Paul is speaking about. We don't recognize the fact that we actually are at war. He says, you don't struggle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of this present darkness. We don't sometimes grasp that. I know that for me, I sometimes lose the fact I'm at battle right now. And I begin to think, what is the exact opposite of what this is looking like, what he's calling us to? And this word passivity is, I want to talk a little bit about that. The word passivity is the acceptance of what happens without an active response or resistance. So we're kind of looking at two different things. What is the dangers of passivity? And what is spiritual passivity? I'm going to explain spiritual passivity equals forgetting that we are in a battle, that we are in enemy territory, and that the enemy desires to kill, steal, and destroy. He's coming for me. He's coming for my wife. He's coming for my children. He's coming for my church, for my friends, for anything, anyone who would proclaim the name of Christ. I'm at battle. And spiritual passivity is forgetting we're at war. When I think of a warrior in Scripture, there is one person specifically that comes to my mind. And that's David. And David, if you remember, in 1 Samuel chapter 17, he is out in the fields and he is watching his sheep. And his dad says to him, hey, what I want you to do is that I want you to go, because there's this battle going on, and I want you to go down there and actually want you to predict some food, see how my boys are doing, and then come back. Okay. He runs down to the battlefield. And as he gets there, they're actually lining up on the battlefield and getting ready to fight. And as he's sitting there talking to his brothers, all of a sudden, this mammoth man, not really mammoth, but he's huge. He comes out and he bellows this charge. You know this story, right? He bellows this charge, and David is sitting here, and he's coming out of being in, you know, spending time with the Lord, being with the sheep, and just incredible times. And he sees this, and all of a sudden he sees this guy completely defacing his God. And his words are this in 1 Samuel 17:26, "For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" Like, it is in his face. "I cannot believe that you've been standing here for 40 days, morning and night, and you have listened to Goliath say these things about your God and done nothing about it." Spiritual passivity. No resistance at all. I feel like that at times. Our culture yelling out over and over and over again. Sometimes I feel like I don't resist. I don't want to be that way. And as David hears this, and he hears it, and he's like, "Take me to the leader." So they take him to Saul, right? And Saul says, you can't do that, right? You cannot fight him. Do you see how small you are? Do you get this? And he says to him, "You know, I've killed the bear and I've killed a lion, and God has helped me through this, and I will kill him. I'll take him out." So Saul says, "Okay, here, put on my armor." So David's trying this thing on, and he realizes that, I can't fight in this. I've never done anything like this. And to me, at that point, I was studying that. It's like, you know, there are some times that we don't understand that what David was fighting was not a physical battle. It was not just flesh and blood. It was spiritual. He recognized that. He's like, "No, I'm not." But sometimes we think that we can fight this spiritual battle in our own physical strength. You can't. There is no power in your physical strength in the spiritual realm. It's not there. He's like, "I'll do it. I'll go out." And he walks out, and he begins walking towards Goliath. Actually running towards him, sorry. And I want to read this to you, what he says, because Goliath says to him, what am I, a dog? Am I a dog that you would actually come out here and that you would send this boy to kill me? What do I look like? Here's what David says to him. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and with spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. The Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day, the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. And I will give the dead bodies of the hosts of Philistines this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Not an ounce of spiritual passivity in that boy at that point. Knew he was at war. He knew God had been with him in the past, and he knew he would be with them again in this instance. And he brought it. David knew and understood that he was in a spiritual battle. In Ephesians 6, it says this, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. I want us to talk about that just for a second, because what the whole point of this is that this did not come from physical strength. This came from spiritual strength. It came from inner being. His spirit in the Lord was strong. The question is if God is calling us as a people to stand, right? To stand in evil, against evil, that we are at a battle, how do we become strong in the Lord and in the power of his might? Because I know if I do it on my own, I am toast. So the first thing I want us to look at, he says this, put on the full armor of God. He doesn't tell you to put these on like one at a time or just one of them. He told you to put on all of them, right? It's to be the whole thing. Put on the whole armor of God. He says, therefore, take the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand firm, stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth. Let's talk about the belt of truth. All right, so this is the belt that went around the soldier, and it is what also caused the entire armor to stay up, just like it keeps your pants up, right? Like you want to go in the mall and just say, here, have a belt, right? Because just pull it up. So everything is in. They actually, in another passage, says, gird up your loins. You should just tell them, go in the mall and just say, hey, gird up your loins. But anyway. Because there's a lot. I digressed. I'm sorry. But anyway, he's talking about this belt of truth. And what is truth? Who defines truth? The Word of God defines truth. God defines truth. I want to understand is that we live and we are bombarded by lies every day. Remember where we live. In this present darkness. We live in enemy territory, and he is the master deceiver. We are bombarded by lies from our culture. We are bombarded by lies from the enemy against us. And I'm going to say this, is that the enemy wants to defame and deface and degrade the name of Jesus. He wants to degrade any image of Jesus, which is you. You are made in the image of God. And he wants to degrade the purpose of God and the kingdom of God. And so everything that he wants to do upon this earth, you can know for sure that his purposes are for that. And so everything in this culture is focused around lies. And so our culture is based in it. And we are bombarded by it. And just to be honest, there's sometimes I believe them. I believe some of these lies about what they say about myself, what they say about others, what they say about God. And when we believe lies, when we don't know truth, you see, truth has to saturate our being so that you can identify a lie. You cannot identify a lie if you don't know truth. And so knowing the Word of God and knowing it inside and out so that you have the ability to know when something's a lie and I need to resist it is really important. It's really important because if I don't, what happens is this, is that the whole enemy's point is for me to become passive, to no longer resist. If he can get me at the point of no longer resisting what he's trying to do, what has he got? He's won that victory. I love the life of David because I love to see who he is, but Scripture is also doesn't leave anything out, right? And so at the point of Goliath, there was this point in his life where he was strong in the Lord. He saw the darkness. He saw the battle, and he went for it. If somebody needed a battle fought, send David, because he's going to take him out. That's what they did. But it came to this point where they made where God had anointed King David to be over Israel and Judah, and there was this point where it became comfortable. You ever get to that point in your life where, like, well, things are just comfortable, and you're kind of used to life, and you're kind of used to things, and David gets to this point in his life. And it says that in 2 Samuel 11, 1, it says, when the kings went out to battle, David stays back, sent Joab and all the rest of Israel, and he stayed in Jerusalem. Sounds a little bit like passivity to me. I'm going to stay back, send other people to fight. And there's a real danger in this. When we become comfortable and we stop battling ourselves. And there's a danger. And what happens is that at some point in the afternoon one day, he's out walking on the roof and he sees Bathsheba taking a bath. On the roof. Now, taking a bath on the roof sounds like a good time. I like hot tubs and all that jazz, but this is a whole different realm. She's just taking a bath, and David lusts after her. And he goes another step further, and he sins for her. And he commits adultery with her and sends her home. Tries to cover it up. Maybe nobody knew. Maybe nobody saw. Or nobody cared. Or nobody was going to speak or say anything. And then she sends word, I'm pregnant. And now he's got to figure out how he's going to cover that up. So he sends for Uriah, her husband, to come home and tell us about the battle. And by the way, why don't you go sleep with your wife tonight while everybody else is out in the tent? And Uriah says, no, not doing that. He was a battler. He was a warrior. He was loyal. And so David sends him back with his own death warrant, telling Joab, send him into the front line and pull back so that he dies. and Uriah dies. And it says in Scripture that he saw, that Lord saw it all, and it displeased him. How does this man, who is such a warrior, how is this man who we look at and think, how, where, this is who we want to be, become this guy right here who completely falls in sexual immorality, murder, and comes to this point? One of the things that I would say is this, is that the second one of this, the principle of being strong in the Lord, is living in righteously. He falls at a breastplate of righteousness. And the breastplate is something that covered the vitals. You know what I mean? That kind of get that picture of the guy with the big chest and the, like they had, you know what I'm talking about? What, you know? A six-pack. I was thinking that would be cool. If you could just have one of those, then you wouldn't have to worry about dieting. You just kind of like, you always have a six-pack. You just put it underneath. Anyway, I'm digressing. But the breastplate of righteousness, the whole point of that was to not allow access, right? To not allow access for evil to come into our hearts. And there's a point of us is that where we can easily allow access of sin. It's really easy. Simply by not doing anything about it. Sometimes we don't actively pursue sin. Do we? Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. But there are times passivity just allows it to have its place in our life, and we don't deal drastically with it. What God is calling me to, he's calling us to, is dealing drastically with our sin, to not allow it access into who we are. And David allowed access. He put himself in a position of passivity to the point where he just kind of sat back and kept following it. And so being strong in the Lord requires, number one, that we have the belt of truth, that we understand what truth is. Number two, that we actually are rooting out evil in our life, and that we just deal drastically with it, whatever it takes. I don't care if you have to go to another person and say, this is what I'm dealing with. We need to help each other in this. You know, when we come together as a body to help each other, we stand back to back, warrior against for warrior, is that we are helping one another to walk in the way we're supposed to walk. I have those people in my life. Just being honest, I have people that I can say, here's what's going on, and I need you to know this was going on. I'm going to humbly say, here's what I'm dealing with. I don't just blab it to everybody, but there are people that are warriors with me, have been warriors with me all of my life, that I know I can tell them this. And I'm going to deal drastically with my sin. We have to have those people that we're warring with. Thirdly, live in readiness. I don't think at this point David is that point. He's looking at, or Paul looked down at the, he's looking at the feet of the Roman soldier, and he's like, this is a really important part. What's the first thing you do when you walk into your home? Mostly, take your shoes off. It's time, like, it's time to relax. Take my shoes off, sit back in the recliner, grab the clicker or whatever, and you just relax. The thing about it is that what he's basically stating is that there is no point of relaxation while we live on this earth spiritually. There's never a time where it's like, okay, I can just sit back. And if we ever do sit back, the enemy's right there. Right? He's right there waiting. I know you're tired. I know you just spoke three times. I know whatever. And he comes for us. We cannot allow ourselves not to be ready. The fourth part is live by faith. He says, take up the shield of faith. And when you think about faith, I think a lot about just the word trust, because I feel like those two are synonymous. The word trust, it helps me out a lot, because I have to trust things. I have to trust my wife. I have to trust all these types of things. It's all about trust. And so trusting the Lord and trusting in him that he is who he says he is. And so when I know truth, and I know it really well, and I'm like, this is what God has called me to do. This is who God has called me to be. This is who God is. And when I know the truth, I have the ability to trust. When David went before Goliath, he goes, I want you to know that God has saved me from the lion. God has saved me from the bear. And because he saved me from the lion and the bear, he's going to save me from Goliath. Amen. I can say this in my own heart. God has provided for me all of my life. He's going to provide for me all of my future. That is who he is. He is. He's going to do this for us. But it calls us to walk in faith, to live in it. And let me say this, is that living in faith is not always feel secure. Right? I mean, if I were to get up on this stage right now and I'd say, all right, I'm just gonna fall. I'm gonna believe that somebody's gonna catch me. There's a lot of point right here where it's like, oh, I'm not sure about this. It's insecure. But we know who he is. God calls us to walk out and to live in this type of faith. And it's insecure. But I'll say this, passivity loves security and it loves comfort. That's not what God's called us to. The last thing is God has called us to live purposely. Not only has he called for me to take a stand and resist against the forces of evil in this world, but he's also called for me to be his child. He's also called for me to be in his army and the kingdom of God advancing. And so when you put the helmet of salvation on, it identifies, I am in his army. And I just want you to know that being in his army is a big deal. Why? Because I know I'm going to win. Right? I know that the future is that we win with him. And so he's called me to walk in my identity with him. Walk in who he is and who he's made me to be. And then he says, I've given you the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of the God, word of God. And as you know the word of God, as it becomes saturated in your life, he uses it to speak out boldly words of life into people. And he uses prayer. You don't think of prayer as an offensive weapon, do you? It is. It's offensively used to go against and to fight against evil. I guess as I was in my finishing up, I kind of wanted to just, I wanted us to come to an understanding, for myself included, it's really easy to be passive today. It's really easy for us to get into the culture and not try and not resist. Some of you are weary and tired. And you want to hang it up. That's not what he's called us to. Be strong in the Lord. Put on the full armor. Do not allow passivity to just eat you up. It's dangerous. A lot of people think of the word passive and they just think, well, that's, you know, I'm just going to not going to go there. It's kind of just a real, not, you know, I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to make any waves. And that's a safer approach. Let me just say this. It's the most dangerous approach. It's a dangerous approach for you, your family, your children, your friends. It's not where he's called us to. He's called us to be warriors. And we need to stand with each other. We need to pray for each other. We need to put on that full armor and live for him. I encourage you not to allow passivity in your life. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for your son, Jesus. We thank you that you have placed us in your army, in your kingdom, for your purposes. And I pray that, God, that this would be a body of believers who, Lord, who stand, who would take our stand against the forces of evil. And I thank you, God, that you have given us the victory. We just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.